This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
You're listening to The Morning Run with Lynn Mark, Roshan Kanisen and Noel Lim. It's 7.36 in the morning, Wednesday the 5th of May, which means that in about half an hour, we're going to be having the breakfast grill. Roshan, wouldn't you tell us what's happening today?
I'll be speaking with Anand Ramakrishnan, founder and group CEO of Invest Energy Group. This group made a bit of a splash a few weeks back when they said that they wanted to invest 2.2 billion ringgit over the next 5 to 7 years in renewable energy projects across the region. They haven't named their ESG partner yet. They said they've got an ESG fund that's backing them as well. So I'm going to try and get to all these details. And as well as they want to hit 750 megawatts in terms of generation capacity, what's the plan to get there? So all this and a little bit more, I'm going to try and get some details over the fund's partnership and all that in about half an hour.
Yes, indeed. That'll be happening after the 8 o'clock news bulletin. Be sure to stay tuned for that. But in the meantime, we're turning our attention to an interesting piece of news that we saw earlier this week. The trial between Apple and Fortnite maker Epic Games has begun. And during his testimony, Tim Sweeney, who's Epic's CEO, said the company deliberately violated Apple's app marketplace rules to show the power that Apple wields and that the tech giant takes an unfair share of money from software developers. To recap, Fortnite was removed from Apple's mobile app platform last August after Epic inserted its own unauthorized payment system into the versions of Fortnite on the app stores that Apple and Google control.
As a way to circumvent the 30% fee that companies collect from in-app purchases. So in response, Apple and Google have pulled the game from their app stores. And as in response, Epic expected it prompted Epic to file lawsuits against those two companies, as well as launch a public relations campaign critical of Apple to draw support from consumers and other app developers.
So does Epic Games have a case here? Does Apple need to worry about having to break its walled garden? For some thoughts on this antitrust case, we're speaking this morning with Professor David Olson, Associate Professor with the Boston College Law School. David, thanks so much for joining us today. Now, does Epic have a case after all they did intentionally to break the rules set by Apple?
It's a pleasure to be here, and it's a great question. This starts out really as a contract case where there's a contract where Epic has agreed these are the commissions, 30% commissions will pay, all of that. And then suddenly they break the contract and set up their own payment system so that people can pay directly through Epic. So on the contract case, it would be an easy case for Apple to win and to have the right to kick them off the App Store, which they did. And Google also kicked them off the Play Store because they also did the same thing with Google. On the other hand, when it comes to antitrust law, because it is so complicated and because so much of it turns on the facts, it's often hard to say ahead of time that one definitely say doesn't have a case or has a winning case. So what I would say here is it's an uphill battle for Epic. I think they're looking at kind of high risk, high reward, and they're really trying to change the whole model if they can be successful with this case, or maybe through a lot of public relations pressure on Apple and Google.
David, I'm wondering whether there's any history or precedent in this kind of case, right? Because I remember earlier on we had Microsoft facing antitrust, its own form of antitrust case. Do we have any history that we can look to see how this case could go?
Yes. Epic is going to try to rely on a couple of precedents and has in its briefing. One is the Microsoft case, where Microsoft did a number of things, but one of the things it did was have exclusive deals with America Online, with computer manufacturers to install not just Microsoft's OS, but also the Internet Explorer browser, and to keep off the Netscape browser. And so that kind of behavior, that exclusive behavior, was found to be a violation. So Epic's gonna argue for that, although it's a bit different here, because certainly Epic's games can all be on board. What they're arguing instead is that Apple should be allowing other app stores to be on the iPhone, and that denying that ability is similar to the Microsoft case. That's a harder case to make here. There's also another case of printers and copiers, a Kodak case. And in that case, the court said, once people buy Kodak printers, they are, and especially big businesses, they're kind of locked in for the next 5 years for service. And therefore, when Kodak changed its rules and said people could only buy replacement parts and service from Kodak, that was a violation. So Epic is arguing that Apple is locking people into the iPhone and then is not letting them, you know, say have other app stores or other ways to do payments. But you can see that both of these are also, you know, have a number of differences that will make this a fairly hard climb for Epic.
Right. So based on those two situations, as well as the, this revolves around the App Store and being essentially customer choice. Do you think Epic has enough to make an antitrust case?
Yeah, I mean, it's got enough to make a case and, you know, obviously get to trial as we're seeing the trial going on right now. If you're asking, do I think Epic will win? It's still, you know, there's a lot of facts coming out, so it's hard to say for sure. But I think Epic definitely has the harder case. And if I were going to have to try to predict, I would predict that Apple will win, in part because the stakes are so high. If Epic wins on all of the things it wants to win on, basically Apple will have to not do set 30% commissions for the App Store. And Apple will also have to allow anyone else kind of inside the walled garden. And so lots of people can start putting their software on Apple iPhones without Apple kind of, or, you know, how would Apple vet them in the same way? So Apple's really built its business model as being different from PCs, where it's going to have a lot of control and give the consumer a secure, safe, less viruses kind of experience. And Epic is trying to disrupt that. And so a judge, I think, is going to be very hesitant to find for Epic and then have a remedy that's going to tell Apple it has to change its entire business model.
So if Apple wins, what would it mean for the case between Epic and Google? Do you think that Google will also have a stronger chance of winning?
So there's two parts. Part of it's exactly the same. So whether Google can charge the 30% commission that everyone seems, that seems to be an industry standard, whether it's the Sony PlayStation, the Xbox, PCs, phones, they're all charging 30% commission. And there's reasons to think that's probably an efficient way to do it. It just bundles all the costs into one thing. So that would be the same in Apple and Google. Google does have a process where you can kind of sideload, or there are ways to load things onto to Android phones without as much restriction as Apple. So that part would be a little bit different. And you know, I think that's part of why Epic is starting with Apple, because Apple is the most restrictive, and therefore it has the strongest argument that this kind of exclusive behavior is somehow anti-competitive. But it will have to prove at the end of the day that this hurts consumers. It's not just about, is it fair to Epic or is it fair to other game developers? It's got to be, does it hurt consumers? And unless Epic can prove that, it won't be able to win.
So, David, I mean, markets have come a long way since the first antitrust laws, you know, came into play. The competitive landscape has changed significantly. So does the U.S. really need to reinvent its antitrust laws to fit this modern day and age?
There are certainly some people arguing that right now, and some people in the Biden administration are arguing for that. Lina Khan, who was appointed to the FTC, has that kind of position. On the other hand, antitrust law over the years in the US and the EU, in many places around the world, has really evolved into a line of kind of economic thinking and balancing out pro-competitive and anti-competitive costs to consumers. And that type of analysis and reasoning, I think, can continue to apply. And so there's also a strong argument that while as industry and technology changes, making that application to a new area can be a little tricky for a while, all of the basics are there. If you look at the antitrust statute under the US or EU or in many places, it's actually quite broad language that allows courts a lot of leeway to try to get to that bottom question, does this hurt consumers? And the kind of analysis is somewhat the same, whether it's, you know, a railroad or a tech platform, is does certain exclusions have enough cost to other developers, to competition, that it hurts consumers? So in some ways, the analysis needs to be applied differently, updated, but does not have to be fundamentally reformed.
David, thanks so much for joining us this morning. That was Professor David Olson, Associate Professor with the Boston College Law School, giving us some insight into the fight that Apple and Epic Games
are
having. The Epic fight, yes, indeed.
Yeah, this is going to be interesting. And just on that last note, right, a lot of times they're going to have to prove that consumers are going to be hurt or have been hurt by this. And the other argument is that, you're hurting consumers indirectly by stifling competition. But can Epic prove that in court? They've got an uphill battle here because there are other implications to all of this. But this is going to be an interesting one to watch. I think analysts are pricing in the fact that Apple will likely win this. So this could be, from a monetary point of view, good to watch because the Apple services become a bigger part of the businesses, of Apple's business, and the App Store does play a key part in that, especially the 30% cut.
So up next, we're going to be speaking with former Deputy Minister of Education, Webby Thioni Ching, on the issue of accreditation for higher education courses here in the country. So be sure to stay tuned for that after these messages. BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.